offering our most humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Dear listeners, welcome to this week's episode of Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam. As always, this is Prem and with me is Sai Prakash. And as we had the pleasure and the honor of the company last week, this week too we have with us Professor G. Venkatraman. We are studying the discourse which Swami gave during the 1990 summer course, and this particular discourse is on the topic of Buddhi. And we are extremely happy to have with us Professor Venkatraman, who gave us a lot of beautiful insights last week, and we hope we will get more of that this week too. So before we commence the program, I, on behalf of all of you and Sai Prakash, invite sir to the program, Saram sir, and Saram Sai Prakash too.
Saram Prem. It's interesting, you know, we are on this chapter on Buddhi. But before we actually go on to summarize what Swami spoke last week and weeks before that, I was just thinking it would be nice to reiterate the meaning of the three words, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam.
Oh, that would be beautiful.
Yeah, because we have been using that as the title of our program. Sir, so from our understanding of what Swami has told in previous discourses, we just thought Shravanam is actually hearing to the message and understanding, getting it from a guru or a master. And then Mananam is actually trying to understand and accept that message. And Nididhyasanam is actually following it.
Internalizing it. So that it is always, it will come out spontaneously.
Correct. So that is...
It becomes sort of part of your fabric. It's no longer, you know, reacting to a command.
Okay.
Swami says, speak the truth. So I'm going to speak the truth. Mm-hmm. No, it's not like that. Mm-hmm. The message becomes a part of your personality. Mm-hmm. And automatically, it becomes natural to you.
Correct.
It is like, you know, opening the box. Mm-hmm. It's already in you. Mm-hmm. It's just opening the box and it comes out spontaneously. It doesn't have to be coaxed out. Mm-hmm. That is really what Nididhyasana is.
Yes. So, in this program, we have been studying the 1990 summer course series, and we have come to the eighth discourse, that is Buddhi the Charioteer. And before we proceed further, we would just like to very quickly summarize portions from this discourse, which leads to the next clip.
Right. To begin with, in that discourse, as always, Swami started with the Padyam. And interestingly, Swami spoke about purity of the mind on this discourse, which is actually about the Buddhi. And we will see how beautifully it connects to that concept of purity of mind later. Mm-hmm. And Swami starts the discourse referring again to that Kathopanishad analogy of a chariot.
Exactly.
And in fact, Swami adds the importance of Buddhi using the same analogy, where he says you can have a very good and strong chariot. You may have very able horses. Mm-hmm. You may have very strong reins. Mm-hmm. But what is the use of all this if you don't have a chariot here?
That's
which
true.
Is the Buddhi.
Before we proceed further, you know, I just have a doubt. I would request sir to give us some clarity on this. In some of our religious scriptures, it's written that the way of achieving purity of mind is actually the state of thoughtlessness. Is it practically possible to be in a state of thoughtlessness, or what exactly is purity of mind? Like, how do we achieve purity of mind?
This is a tough question. Basically, you have to have a ladder of purity, sort of gradations. Mm-hmm. So when you get into a job, you start at the lowest level, then you get a promotion, then you get one more promotion.
Okay.
The IAS, for example, they sort of start as a probationer, then they slowly come up the ranks, and then they become undersecretary. I don't think they come to undersecretary. They come to joint secretary, then director, additional secretary, secretary, and if you are lucky, you go become a cabinet secretary or something like that. Mm-hmm. So, in the case of purity also, we have to think of a hierarchy. Yes. You can't just straight away go to the last level of purity where there are no thoughts and all that. Mm-hmm. Let's be practical. Mm-hmm. The first level is we don't have bad thoughts and that's the first thing. Mm-hmm. Which means I don't want have any grudge against anybody, any evil intentions against anybody. I don't want to rob anybody, cheat anybody, harm anybody, mm-hmm. and so on. Tell lies to anybody and so on. But I can have desires which seem reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
Say I want to go to the shopping mall and buy a nice designer shirt.
Mm.
That's all right.
Mm-hmm.
I want to read a good book.
Correct.
It's all right. I want to go to on a vacation and so on. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay, fine. What about promotion?
Mm-hmm.
Promotion means I sort of give up some of these things.
Okay.
In the old days, there was a sort of a methodology of giving up.
Mm-hmm.
People used to go to Kashi, which is later on came to be called Benares, and now it is called Varanasi.
Mm-hmm.
They take a dip in the Ganges, and they were told, if you really want to go to heaven, you have to give up something.
Okay.
Which you like very much.
That's true.
That means give up a desire. But usually they will give up something which they don't like, especially in food. I don't like bitter good. So I'll say, God, here I take a big dip and I give up my all. I won't eat bitter good. Big deal. They won't say I will give up ice cream. Oh no, never. So giving up what you call desires.
Mm-hmm.
Is one of the things. So you start giving up what you call sensual desires.
Mm-hmm.
They are sort of easy.
Mm-hmm.
I can give up, this in food, that in food and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But the mind also has desires, and they are pretty tough to get rid of. Basically, they are related to ambition, power, position. The fellow may be very religious, he may do Sandhya Vandanam 15 times a day, even though it's prescribed only 3 times. He'll go to all the temples, he'll worship all God's comprehensive insurance, all that. But when it comes to desires, they are there. Say he is in office, he wants to go that office again. Say he's a governor, he said, why should I be a governor? Let me become a president. Then, of course, it's tough luck, because after president, what do you do? So you try to become a big shot in some charitable thing, trust, and get visibility and so on. So those kind of desires are more difficult to get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you do is you try to say, all right, I won't get rid of desires straight away, but I'll desire something that is not connected with this world.
Mm-hmm.
So I develop a deep passion for Rama or Krishna or something like that. And eventually you reach a stage where you start by thinking of Rama, but then you forget even that form.
Mm-hmm.
You begin to experience bliss. And that is what you call one of the stratospheric levels. Beyond that, I do not know much. I have a long way to go. I have not yet got into the plane to go that high. But this is the point.
Correct.
You, the kind of purity you are talking about is an ideal state.
Correct.
But I have to try and go as close to that ideal as possible.
That's correct.
And the beauty about the love of God is, if you have come that far, say, hey, listen, here is my hand, take it, and I pull you. You don't have to do the last mile.
Correct.
He will take it away from you. That is the beauty of the Lord. And the Upanishads, you don't get those options. The Lord comes and says, come on, man, I'm here. Love me and experience my love, and I'll take the last step for you.
Correct.
That's the beauty of Lord's revelation.
I think as you are explaining the different levels of purity of the mind, in a way that answers your question, because...
Whose question? I didn't ask any question.
Prem's question.
Okay, you make it clear to the listener.
Prem's question, where he said, Swami spoke about purity of the mind in this chapter on Buddhi.
Right.
But it's, I think, giving up one level of desires is actually based on Buddhi.
Right. And the interesting thing is Swami actually started with 2 padyams.
Mm-hmm.
The first padyam was about the purity of the mind. The second one is, see no evil, do no evil. And Swami says, remember the three monkeys always.
Correct.
Yeah, that's the first step. Swami is...
Yeah, what happens is we remember them and try to become three monkeys in one. Okay, sorry about that.
And after that analogy of the chariot, Swami, you know, a pattern which you've seen in the earlier discourses, where Swami first answered why we are, it is important to study the subject. That's the same thing Swami did about the body, about the mind. So he says, why studying about the buddhi is important by giving that analogy. And then says, what is the role of the buddhi?
Correct.
What does it essentially do? And there Swami says, decision making is the vital one. And a derived role, what Swami gives is, it is needed for dealing with day-to-day problems.
Correct.
That is something which Swami mentions there. And then Swami goes on to talk about those two banks of the river, where the river is that of the life, and that which regulates the river of life is Shraddhavan Lapate Jnanam, is one bank, and Samshayatma Vinashyate. Essentially, Swami is saying that how Shraddha and faith are two very essential things which have to guide your life.
Correct.
Wait a minute. Shraddha and faith.
Yes.
What is Shraddha that means?
Shraddha has a dual connotation in a sense.
Okay, that's exactly what I was saying. You explain that because Shraddha, many people don't know
Shraddha
that.
Shraddha, say, on one hand is faith, and equally powerful explanation of Shraddha is earnestness or effort that we have to put. So Swami says the stream of river of life is flowing in between the two banks.
Earnestness, better than that, dedicated perseverance. It's something like Hollywood or bust. I am going to do it.
Right.
And the driving force for that is faith.
Okay. But faith itself is, you know, we wonder what is faith. And we have to have faith on what?
You are asking me.
Yes, sir, I am asking you this question.
You have faith in me?
Definitely, sir.
Okay. See, the word faith is sometimes attributed to, or is may considered to be synonymous with religions. Okay. We are not talking of that. Let us be very clear.
Correct.
Faith in the context of Vedanta means a belief in something that is beyond reason. Now, this point has to be very carefully understood. In the world, we often come to believe in something via the process of reasoning. I see some water.
Yes.
I ask myself a lot of questions. Is this safe? And then I become convinced it is safe. I have faith in the safety of the water and I drink it. I don't carelessly do it.
Swami gives the example of offering our head to the barber.
Barber.
With lot of faith we offer.
That's a good one. Yeah, especially the fellow with the knife, he can do anything. So, but it is based on a process of reasoning.
Correct.
Now, God is beyond the subtle, beyond the causal. He is transcendental.
Correct.
So, if I'm going to talk about God and things like that, how do I do it? Do I find God and then convince myself He is there and then start having faith in Him? That sort of thing is not possible in the case of God. If you have attained God, there is no need to have faith. You become God.
You become God, true.
So, this is that is a meaningless thing. So, as Gandhi says, you're dealing with something transcendental. Just believe in it and keep going. And that can come to you only with humility. How do I know God exists? He says so, but I don't know. I have to experience God. All the experiences we have are with the senses, which are cognized by the mind.
Yes.
Right. God is beyond the senses and the mind. That's what your Vedas say.
Correct.
That's what Maharishi say. So, if you want to catch a fish, you must use a net. You don't catch a fish like you try to catch something else on the land. So you must have the right ways of going to that level.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts with the belief that God exists.
Correct.
And now the question becomes, mm-hmm. all right, God exists. How do I go to that God?
Mm-hmm.
How do I love that God? How do I reach that God? How do I become one with God? But all those are conditioned upon my believing that God exists.
Mm-hmm.
And this faith, therefore, is faith in the existence of something transcendental, which means something beyond the body, the senses, and the mind. Now, many people say there is nothing beyond the senses
mm-hmm.
and the body.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
We live in this world
mm-hmm.
and we die, it's all over, fini. Compre? You understand? That's what they say.
Mm-hmm.
That's questionable.
Mm-hmm.
Because their entire basis of reasoning is limited to experiences with the senses and the brain.
Correct.
But where did these come from?
Mm-hmm.
They have no explanation. Oh, it's nature. Where did nature come from? Nature is nature, that's all there is to it.
Mm.
I said, no, nature cannot come by, exist by itself. It must have a seed from which it came. So that is their belief. They have their faith.
Mm-hmm.
And when they did the explorations on the basis of that faith, of course they had to reach beyond the senses and the mind,
mm-hmm.
and they said that.
Correct.
Swami says, Vedanta
Vedahametam Purusham Aditya Varnam
Tamasaspar. We have seen God. We have experienced God.
Mm. Correct.
That is the point.
Correct.
So now, what do I do? I have not seen God. Swami says, at least believe in those fellows.
Correct.
See, that is very important.
Mm.
In science, for example, when it was first written,
mm-hmm.
Special theory of relativity was a big mystery.
Mm-hmm.
And Eddington said, there are only three people who understand it. One is Einstein, second is myself. I wonder who is the third person. That is to say, now of course special theory of relativity is taught to in colleges. We teach it ourselves. But when it comes to what Einstein did 10 years later in 1915, the general theory of relativity,
mm-hmm.
that is a tough nut.
Mm-hmm.
Even today, the number of people who know is very limited. It requires a lot of understanding of tensor calculus and all sorts of things. And it's a very abstract field. Yes, time and space get mixed. It's pretty tough.
Mm-hmm.
So not many people understand it. So you ask a biologist, do you believe in Einstein's theory? Of course I believe. Do you know that theory? No. How can you believe in something you do not know? I believe in Einstein. He must be right.
Mm.
So I believe because somebody told me and I have faith in that.
Correct.
Today the media has sort of put itself in the face. We are great. We know everything. And they go on telling you the same nonsense and we believe. Isn't that true?
Right. Correct.
All your advertising is based on this. Any soft drink is poison.
Correct.
But they go on telling it's good for you, good for you. I believe it's good for you. And I do it without any reasoning.
Mm.
I don't use any discrimination.
Correct.
But in the case of God, I cannot use these kind of reasonings. Because He is transcendental. I have to accept faith. Then when I go at that level, I can ask questions.
Mm.
That is what Viveka Chodamani is all about. They are questions related to the transcendental. They are entirely of a different character. That is what Atma Vichara is. Inquiry
Correct.
About the Atman.
Correct.
If you read Ramana,
mm-hmm.
it's all about that.
Who am I?
Who am I?
Yes.
And you have to be at that level to be able to have that kind of reasoning and dialogue. So it is possible even there
mm-hmm.
to have a higher kind of reasoning that transcends normal logic.
Correct.
It's logic of a higher kind.
Very true. I mean, that very beautifully explains the concept of faith. And no wonder the other bank is samshayatma vinashyati. If you have doubt, you will perish. That's exactly the other bank. Shraddhavan Labhate Gyanam is one bank. The other bank is samshayatma vinashyati. So the moment you get a doubt, you are
finished.
You are finished. Then he goes on
I
to say...
I hope you don't have any doubts about what...
No, absolutely.
I don't... Then a question arises, who is finished, you or me?
Then there is another definition of buddhi, which Swami says is antarvani, and that is the voice of the conscience. Then he goes on to say that buddhi is slightly different from vijnana, which is more of a scientific and worldly knowledge, and buddhi is more related with the inner world. So, because buddhi happens to be the closest to the atma.
Right, and then Swami goes on to juxtapose buddhi with ahankara, explaining mm-hmm. one in relation to the other.
Mm-hmm.
Swami gives this, the hierarchy, where Swami mm-hmm. says, senses are subtler than the body,
mm-hmm.
the mind is subtler than the senses,
correct.
The buddhi is subtler than the mind, the ahankara is subtler than the buddhi, and the atma is the subtlest.
That's true.
So, where he says that ahankara comes between buddhi and atma, and mm-hmm. that is why sometimes even buddhi is covered by ahankara. Mm-hmm. And that is the point where Swami says that effort has to be done to remove this ahankara.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the beautiful Chinakatha which Swami narrated came.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, buddhi draws its effulgence from the atma. That's what
that's
Swami
true.
Says. And Swami says it has 90% illumination from the atma.
Correct.
So because it's closest to
see,
the
atma.
See,
that's a simple analogy you can give.
Mm-hmm.
If you say atma is like the physical heart,
mm-hmm.
and buddhi is like the artery that goes to the heart,
mm-hmm.
ahamkara is like clot in the artery. So you have to remove that clot by putting a stent or dissolving it or something.
Absolutely.
Then the buddhi is in regular full communication with that. Arterial block is analog of ahamkara.
In fact, this is a perfect example I can think of, because here Swami is saying one of the ways of getting rid of this thing is as much as possible connect the buddhi with the body. Directly. Remove all the, obstacles which come in the way.
Buddhi with Atma.
The Atma with the body.
Atma with the body.
The Atma with the body. Purify the buddhi and connect the Atma with the body.
Correct.
By removing all the obstacles which come in the way.
Mm-hmm.
So, one thing is, if you want to do that, people say, doctors say, don't eat food that lead to
clots.
Mm-hmm. Food with high cholesterol
mm-hmm.
is to be avoided.
Correct.
Similarly, in the case of spiritual thing, the kind of food you must avoid junk spiritual food. Shall I put it this way? Don't ask me what it is, I can get into trouble. But see what is good, do what is good, speak what is good, automatically that is cholesterol free. Mm-hmm. Free. Spiritual cholesterol free.
Correct.
So you don't have to go to any heart doctor and say, do I have a clot? You won't get a clot.
Correct. Then Swami ends that segment with...
And desire free.
Desire free, that's true.
Like, sugar free, salt free, low salt.
We hope we have an oil or food like that in the market.
Oh boy.
Ahamkara free.
There is this segment where Swami is speaking about bird, comparing the buddhi to a bird, where he says satyam and ritam are the two wings, shraddha is the head, and then mahatattvam is the body, and yoga is the tail. And then after that Swami ends with a small anecdote, and that basically brings out the importance and the difference between just
medha,
talent,
and,
medha and buddhi.
Buddhi and shraddha.
Yeah. Shraddha. So he says, you need to have shraddha and you need to have persistence. Only then buddhi will get illumined.
Right.
So should we go on to the clip and then...
Yes, we'll listen to the clip first and then we'll talk about it.
Sure.
Kanukane Vedantamu Shraddhavan Labhate Jnanam Mannaru. That is the reason why Vedanta has declared one can get knowledge and wisdom.
Shraddhane Lekapote. మనము ఎట్టి చిన్న కార్యమునందు కూడాను విజయాన్ని కాని ఆనందాన్ని కాని కార్యమును కాని సాధించలేము.
వితౌట్ హ్యావింగ్ శ్రద్ధ ఇంట్రెస్ట్ యు వుడ్ నాట్ బి ఏబుల్ టు గెయిన్ ఎదర్ సక్సెస్ ఆర్ జాయ్ ఇన్ లైఫ్.
అణు మాత్రం అగ్ని మన యొక్క చేతికి చిక్కినప్పుడు దాని శ్రద్ధనే ఉంటే అనేక రకంగా దాని ఫ్యాన్ వేసో ఇంకే విధమైనటువంటి మార్గంలోనూ దానిని గొప్పగా అభివృద్ధి గావించుకోవచ్చు.
ఈవెన్ యూ కెన్ గెట్ ఎ స్పార్క్ ఆఫ్ ఫైర్ ఇఫ్ ఓన్లీ యూ హ్యావ్ ఇంట్రెస్ట్ you can develop that into any amount.
Thalene tunti vaaniki tattadu nippulu techi pettina kodanu ashraddhato aaragottukochu.
On the other hand, even if you give any quantum of fire, he does not have Shraddha, it can be extinguished.
అనుస్వరూపమైనటువంటి మర్రి గింజను తీసుకుని వచ్చి శ్రద్ధతో పూడ్చి దాని సరైనటువంటి ఒక శ్రద్ధతో పోషించినప్పుడు ఒక బ్రహ్మాండమైనటువంటి వృక్షంగా రూపొందుతుంది.
ఇఫ్ యూ కెన్ గెట్ ఎ స్మాల్ టైనీ సీడ్ పీపుల్ ట్రీ, ఇఫ్ యూ కెన్ జస్ట్ డెవలప్ ఇన్ టు ఎ ట్రీ, ఇట్ కెన్ బికమ్ ఎ వెరీ బిగ్ వాస్ట్ ట్రీ.
కనుకని అనోరణీయాన్ మహతో మహీయాన్, అడవు నుంచి ఘనం వరకు కూడా పెంచడానికి శ్రద్ధ అత్యవసరం.
For developing even the small and minutest things into mountainous big things, it is Shraddha interest which is essential.
Kani manavunaku Shraddha unnadi.
Man has interest.
Deni paina Shraddha.
But on what does he have?
Phalam paina Shraddha unnadi kani kriya paina Shraddha ledu.
He has interest in the fruits of action and not on action.
Adi spirit of work.
And not the spirit of work.
Idi manavuli yandu sannagalindi.
He is not having that spirit of work in him.
ఈ సైన్స్ యొక్క డెవలప్ వల్ల, అభివృద్ధి వల్ల,
on account of the development of this science,
మానవుడు సుఖములకు మరిగి,
man has become indolent,
సోమరత్వాన్ని పెంచుకుని,
has developed laziness,
శ్రద్ధను క్రమక్రమేణా సన్నగింప చేసుకున్నాడు.
He has lost all the interest which is inherent in him.
సైన్స్ చెడ్డది కాదు.
Science is not,
కానీ మన ఉపయోగం అనేటువంటి దాని వల్ల పెద్ద మార్గం పడుతుండాలి.
బట్ the use of science is going on the wrong path.
Manam prati vishayamunandu kodanu pavitramainatunte premanu chinna bhinnamuga avinchukuntunnam.
We are destroying the love by diffusing it and diverting it into many directions.
Kanukane aadhyatmika margamunandu ee premanu abhruddhi ga avinchukovali, ekatvanga nirupinchali aneetunte vishayanni ee naadu pracharam athyavasaram.
It is necessary to teach properly that you will have to integrate this love and divert it to single.
ఆధ్యాత్మికమునకు ఒక విజ్ఞానమునకు ఉండేటువంటి వ్యత్యాసం చెప్పాలంటే ఒకే ఒక పదం.
ఇఫ్ యూ వాంట్ టు బ్రింగ్ అవుట్ ది డిఫరెన్స్ బిట్వీన్ స్పిరిచువాలిటీ అండ్ సైన్స్, యూ కెన్ డూ ఇట్ విత్ వన్ వర్డ్.
స్పిరిట్ ఆఫ్ లవ్, ఇదే ఆధ్యాత్మికము. స్పిరిట్ ఆఫ్ లవ్, ఇదే సైన్స్.
స్పిరిట్ ఆఫ్ లవ్ ఇస్ స్పిరిచువాలిటీ, స్పిరిట్ ఆఫ్ లవ్ ఇస్ సైన్స్.
దీనికి ఎంత వ్యత్యాసం చూడండి.
యూ కెన్ సీ ది ఓషన్ ఆఫ్ డిఫరెన్స్ దట్ ఎగ్జిస్ట్ బిట్వీన్ దీస్ టూ.
ఉన్నది చిన్న పదమే.
There is only a small word.
Kani idi anantamaina arthamato koodi untundali.
But this is pregnant with meaning.
Laukikamainatti bhoga bhagyamulanu anukoola sadupayamulanu kevalamu ee vaigyanam manaku andistu untundali.
Science confers worldly comforts and worldly benefits.
Kani manavuniki kavalsinatundi antar sambandhamainatti aanandam.
But what man really needs is inner joy.
Koredi aanandam.
He is seeking joy.
ప్రయత్నించేది ఆనందం నిమిత్తము.
బట్ హీ ఈజ్ మేకింగ్ ఎఫర్ట్స్ ఫర్ జాయ్.
కానీ ఆ ఆనందం వస్తువాను ఎందు ఉన్నదా?
బట్ డస్ హీ గెట్ ఇట్ ఇన్
విషయములందు ఉన్నదా?
డస్ హీ గెట్ ఇట్ ఇన్ సెన్సెస్?
నీకు ఆనందం ఇచ్చేటువంటి వస్తువులే అశాశ్వతమైనప్పుడు ఈ నిత్యానందం నీకు ఎట్లా లభ్యమవుతుంది?
వెన్ ది సెన్స్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్ దెమ్సెల్వ్స్ ఆర్ ఇంపర్మనెంట్, హౌ కెన్ యూ గెట్ పర్మనెంట్ జాయ్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్?
కనుక ఇచ్చే పదార్థములు అశాశ్వతమే, అనుభవించేటువంటి దేహమును అశాశ్వతమే, మనం నివసించే దేశము అశాశ్వతమే.
ద సెన్స్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్, ద బాడీ అండ్ ద కంట్రీ వేర్ యూ లివ్, దెమ్సెల్వ్స్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్ ఆర్ ఇంపర్మనెంట్.
కనుకనే మనము శాశ్వతమైన ఆనందాన్ని అనుభవించాలనుకుంటే మానసిక తత్వాన్ని సరైన స్థితిలో మనం ఉంచుకోవాలి.
ఇఫ్ యూ రియలీ వాంట్ ఎంజాయ్ పర్మనెంట్ జాయ్ అండ్ బ్లిస్, యూ హ్యావ్ టు కీప్ యువర్ మైండ్ ఇన్ ఎ ప్రాపర్ స్టేట్.
ఈనాడు వైజ్ఞానిక పరిజ్ఞానము,
సైన్స్ టుడే,
నైతిక భౌతిక ధార్మికమైనటువంటి యొక్క అభివృద్ధులు,
దేర్ ఆర్ లాట్ ఆఫ్ డెవలప్మెంట్స్ ఇన్
రాజకీయ పరిణామము,
దేర్ ఇస్ అ లాట్ ఆఫ్ ట్రాన్స్ఫర్మేషన్
ఆర్థిక పరిణామము,
ది ఎకనామిక్ రెవల్యూషన్
వైజ్ఞానిక పరిణామము,
సైంటిఫిక్ రెవల్యూషన్
లౌకిక పరిణామకము,
ది వరల్డ్లీ రెవల్యూషన్,
అన్ని అభివృద్ధి అంచనాయి.
ఆల్ రెవల్యూషన్స్ హావ్ టేకన్ ప్లేస్.
కానీ మానసిక పరిణామం మాత్రం కలగలేదు.
బట్ దేర్ ఇస్ నో మెంటల్ ట్రాన్స్ఫర్మేషన్.
ఈ మానసిక పరిణామం తర్వాత ఆధ్యాత్మిక పరిణామం కూడా అత్యవసరం.
ఆఫ్టర్ దిస్ మెంటల్ ట్రాన్స్ఫర్మేషన్ స్పిరిచువల్ ట్రాన్స్ఫర్మేషన్ ఆల్సో ఈజ్ నెసెసరీ.
అయితే ఈ మనసు ఎక్కడి నుంచి మనకు ఆవిర్భవిస్తుండాలి?
ఫ్రమ్ వేర్ డస్ దిస్ మైండ్ టేక్ ఇట్స్ బర్త్?
దీని యొక్క పుట్టుక స్థానం ఏమిటి?
వాట్ ఈజ్ ఇట్స్ ఆరిజిన్?
ఏదో మనం విచారం చేస్తూ అనేక గ్రంథములు డిక్షనరీలు ఏమేమో తీసుకున్నా కూడాను అది మన తలకు అంటటం లేదు.
ద బుక్స్ అండ్ డిక్షనరీస్ విల్ నాట్ రివీల్ దిస్ మిస్టరీ ఆర్ ది సీక్రెట్.
సులభంగా మనం విచారణ చేస్తే నిత్య జీవితంలో మనం అనుభవించేటువంటి ఆహారం నుండే అభివృద్ధి అవుతుండాలి ఈ మనస్సు.
ది మైండ్ ఈస్ టేకింగ్ ఇట్స్ బర్త్ ఫ్రమ్ ది ఫుడ్ దట్ యు టేక్ ఎవ్రీ డే.
మనము తీసుకునేటువంటి యొక్క ఆహారము,
ద ఫుడ్ దట్ యు పార్టేక్,
జీర్ణించిన తర్వాత మలంగా స్థూల రూపంలో వెళ్లిపోతుండాలి.
ఆఫ్టర్ ఇట్ ఈస్ డైజెస్టెడ్ ద గ్రాస్ ఆస్పెక్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఇట్ గోస్ అస్ ది రిఫ్యూజ్.
సూక్ష్మమైనటువంటి యొక్క ఈ ఆహారమే రక్తము కండలుగా మారిపోతుండాలి.
ద సటిల్ ఆస్పెక్ట్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ ఫుడ్ ఈస్ ట్రాన్స్ఫార్మ్డ్ ఇంటూ బ్లడ్ అండ్
ఆహారమే మనసుగా రూపొందుతుండాలి.
ద సటిలెస్ట్ ఆస్పెక్ట్ ఆఫ్ ద ఫుడ్ బికమ్స్ మైండ్.
కనుకనే మన మనసు యొక్క ప్రభావం అంతా మనం అనుభవించేటువంటి ఆహారంపైనే ఆధారపడి ఉంటుండాలి.
ది ఎంటైర్ మైండ్ డిపెండ్స్ అపాన్ ద టైప్ ఆఫ్ ఫుడ్ దట్ యు పార్టేక్.
దీనికి ప్రాణం అత్యవసరము.
దేర్ ఇస్ నీడ్ ఫర్ అండర్స్టాండింగ్ దిస్.
ప్రాణమయమైన తర్వాతనే మనోమయం.
ఫర్ దిస్ లైఫ్ ప్రాణం
మనోమయమైన తర్వాతనే విజ్ఞానమయము.
ఆఫ్టర్ మైండ్
విజ్ఞానమయమైన తర్వాతనే ఆనందమయం.
ఆఫ్టర్ దాట్ సీత్ ఆఫ్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్.
అతి స్థూలమైనటువంటి యొక్క దేహం నుండి ఈ ప్రాణమయం ప్రారంభించాలి.
ఫ్రమ్ ది గ్రాస్ బాడీ ద సటిల్ ప్రాణ లైఫ్ హ్యాస్ టు స్టార్ట్.
ఈ ప్రాణం ఎక్కడ నుంచి వస్తుండాలి?
ఫ్రమ్ వేర్ డు యూ గెట్?
ఎవరు తెచ్చి పెడుతున్నారు?
ఫ్రమ్ వేర్ డు యూ,
ఏ కనెక్షన్ తో ఇది తాకుతుండాలి?
How is it connected to various things?
ఏమీ లేదు. అది కూడా మన నిత్య జీవితంలో మనం అనుభవించేటువంటి ఆహారం యొక్క సారమే.
దట్ ఆల్సో ఈస్ ది ఎసెన్స్ ఆఫ్ ద ఫుడ్ దట్ యు పార్టేక్.
మనం త్రాగేటువంటి నీరు స్థూలమైనటువంటిది మూత్ర రూపంలో పోతుండాలి.
ది వాటర్ దట్ యు పార్టేక్ ది గ్రాస్ ఆస్పెక్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఇట్ గోస్ యాజ్
అతి సూక్ష్మమైనటువంటి యొక్క జలమే ప్రాణంగా మారుతుండాలి.
The subtle aspect of the water becomes prana or life principle.
Annamu manasu ganu neeru pranamu ganu cheri manavuni yendu rendintu yokka sammilitamaina swaroopame vijnanamayanga maarutundadi.
The food becomes mind, the water becomes life. Food, the mind and the life principle together become the vijnanamaya or the intelligence sheath.
Ee vijnanamelaga kevalamu భౌతిక లౌకికమైనటువంటి విజ్ఞానము కాదు.
హియర్ ద ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ రెఫర్ టు ఇస్ నాట్ ద ఎక్స్టర్నల్ వన్,
బాహ్య ప్రపంచమునకు మాత్రమే, స్థూల జగత్తుకు మాత్రమే.
ద ఎక్స్టర్నల్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ ఇస్ ఓన్లీ
జాగ్రత్త అవస్థకు మాత్రమే,
ఓన్లీ ఫర్ ది వేకింగ్ స్టేట్.
కానీ సూక్ష్మావస్థ యందు అంతర్భావమైనటువంటి యొక్క ఆత్మతత్వం నందు ఇది ఏమాత్రం కూడాను పనికి రాదు.
But this is not useful for understanding the principle of atma or its functioning.
Aithe bahyani aadharam chesukoni antarbhavamunu poshinchukovataniki tagina krishi cheyali.
We have to make efforts to base our understanding on the external life.
Anni manayante untunnavu kani baita ekkadi nunchi raavatam ledu povatam ledu.
Everything exists inside of you. There is nothing which comes.
Okay. I think this last sentence translation got cut off. There's nothing that comes from outside. That's what it means.
Swami was taking over from there.
Okay. So this is yet another heavy segment.
Very heavy.
I think Swami starts off with the importance of Shraddha. And there's a very powerful statement there where he says that today's people are behind the fruit of the action and not behind putting the hard work involved.
Right. The spirit of the work is lost in the desire for the fruit.
No, it has changed further since 1990. I want the fruit even without action. Honestly, that's what cheating is.
Correct.
Making money by work is action and fruit. Mm-hmm. Making money by yukti, yantra, mantra, tantra is cheating, essentially. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of that goes.
Just give it fancy names like derivatives and hedge funds.
No, that is what you call one aspect. Mm-hmm. Downright cheating.
Right.
They just bluff, take money, mm-hmm, and run away with it. that, there's a lot of that which happens. They're called Ponzi schemes. And there is a famous case in America where a fellow swindled people to the extent of over $50 billion.
Oh my God.
$1 is 60 rupees. Mm-hmm. 1 billion is 10 to the power of 9. You can multiply 50 into 10 to the power of 9. That many rupees. Oh my God.
That is when the beginning of this discourse, Swami says, Buddhi helps you to deal with problems of the world. And I think it would also help people to save themselves from such things.
If one were to argue that he had Shraddha in cheating people.
I would protest, because the word Shraddha is reserved for what you call faith in the Lord and perseverance in reaching the Lord.
Correct.
If you have faith in the market, call it by some other name. I don't want this name to be used for that.
It's very interesting, especially when Swami was here physically, mm-hmm. And when we had the opportunity to see him every day. There is a lot of effort and made for especially students. We try to go closer to Swami, physical and the physical aspect. But of course, now we are forced to look within. You know, when Swami was physically with us, what is the difference between trying to go physically close to him? Yes, it has the power, and in one look Swami can transform you. But that effort which you need to do to go inward and go closer to Swami within you, I think that has to be made only by you. Is there an escape for that when you are closer to Swami physically, or you have stayed so many years in Swami's proximity?
See, Krishna refers to this. He says, the avatar dazzles, mm-hmm. and you are so overwhelmed by the dazzle, mm-hmm. you begin to forget what is behind the dazzle. So most of us are caught up in that, mm-hmm. and we just don't pay attention to what Swami is saying. And the moment the avatar withdraws, mm-hmm. there is trauma, shock, people cry, roll over. And the withdrawal symptoms take different amounts of time. Mm-hmm. Some people very quickly in 1 week, they say, let me go back to my normal life. mm-hmm. And so on. You see that. Others hang on, oh, we miss Swami, nostalgia and all that. How can they miss Swami when he's inside? Hmm. Yes, said, I am in you hundreds of times, thousands of times. That never registered. Hmm. You'll all clap hands. I mean, I always felt offended by that. You clap hands to a political leader, movie star, cricket star. You don't clap hands when Swami is talking. There must be what you call reverence and respect. But Swami sort of tolerated that and played along with it and so on. Then we had cheerleaders who promoted applause and stuff like that. Mm. Really speaking, we get distracted by the dazzle, mm-hmm. and don't focus. Swami himself has given a very telling example of this, not once, millions of times. In the interview room, he will say, what is that? Everybody will say nothing. Then he will do this, wave the hand and produce a ring. Mm-hmm. And then he will say, pass it on. Before he picks a fellow to give it to, mm-hmm. or a lady. So everybody will put it to their eyes and then pass it to the next person looking at it. Swami will be whispering to somebody, I am the person who created it. They are looking at what I created. They are not looking at me. So many things. Basically, you are saying you are dazzled by creation and you are not giving any attention to the Creator. I mean, this has literally happened any number of times.
Correct. Very true.
You must have seen it in Thrai inside the interview room. And he commented on it also. Look at this fellow, I am here. There is one incident I remember. This Dr. Shankar Dayal Sharma was governor of Andhra Pradesh, then he became vice president and he became president. He made innumerable trips here. One Swami took him to the hospital for something or the other. And then he took him to the blood bank. There was a big picture from which amrit or nectar was coming. And the doctor there was saying, see, miracle is happening. This man was lost in it. Swami was in the corridor and very impatient. He wanted to take him. Then he said, hey, president, you are looking at a picture of mine. I am here. Literally. Hey, president, I am here and you are looking at my picture. So, right when he was there, we were getting fooled. Why? Because we are tuned on the wrong wavelength. Even today, people don't pay. As I was listening to the discourse, it was packed with what you call very powerful ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And I mention this because we have the duty to sort of resurrect all those things and offer it to the public, you and I in Radio Sai. It's really very, very penetrating, very, very beautifully explained. You don't find these kind of explanations anywhere.
True, correct.
I have not seen any of these things. Either they straight away go to the Atma, which nobody understands, and talk a lot of nonsense, which nobody understands. And I have tried to read books on Atma before I came. I didn't get past one line in most books, beyond one para in other books. And for the first time I understood what it was after listening to Swami. I told Swami, he laughed. And the point has been made very beautifully by Ramakrishna Paramahansa. He says, God alone can make complicated things so simple that even a child understands. And I can tell you, where spirituality was concerned, I knew zero. But he gave a lot of very simple explanations which helped me to think on my own, go and read a lot here, there, put together. As a scientist, I had the benefit of that kind of training, you know, to put a lot of things together. And I began to get a lot of what I would call insight. At least I was able to grasp, what is it that Swami was saying? Why is he saying it? How are we supposed to follow those things and so on?
So very beautifully, in fact, following what Swami said and reading all that, that also is an aspect of Shraddha. You had the earnestness to read and then pursue that.
No, I'm not doing any commercial about myself. But one thing, talking of Shraddha and all that,
mm-hmm.
Nididhyasanam also means reading between the lines.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That is how, missed.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody says, love all, serve all. What is the meaning of love? What is the meaning of all? This mm-hmm. question is not asked. If you really ask that question, all means everything in creation.
Oh.
Why should I love everything in creation? For the simple reason, God is immanent in everything in creation. Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam, that's the reason why I should love all. Now we selectively love. I love this, this, this. This is my favorite dish. All this is out. Because why? Because he's my enemy. He's not my friend. He took money from me, didn't return. All those considerations don't come. Mm. Secondly, I don't like this, I don't like that, and so on. In the sense of animals.
Mm-hmm.
You may be scared of them, but you have no business to hate them.
Correct.
And actually, if I begin to see God in them, I will be never scared of anything. Thirdly, panchabhutams are also God. Mountain is God, air is God, water is God. I will treat that with respect. I don't do that. I pollute water, I pollute air. I destroy mountains because there are minerals in them. In Orissa, there is a big fight between that company called Vedanta,
mm-hmm.
which has bought one mountain. These fellows say, that is our God, don't take away a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And then they say, you have got for many other mountains. These fellows said, today you are taking this, tomorrow you will take all that, because here you have found some other mineral, there you will find gold, another one you will find platinum,
mm-hmm.
the last one you will find uranium, you will take away everything. So they have a belief that that is God.
Mm-hmm.
So love all, serve all means you must serve all those things. How do you serve the mountain? By not destroying it, by allowing the forest there, not touching, not harming the creatures in it. Live in equilibrium. That's really, In modern language, you will say be in harmony with the ecosystem to which you belong.
Correct.
Okay, love. What is this love? The fine print is unconditional love. No strings attached. Without swartham and suprayojanam. That is what love is. We don't read all the fine print. So everybody says, love all serve all, help ever hurt never. All these things become cliches. Nididhyasana means not repeating. It's like a tape recorder or a gramophone record. Understanding the nuances. You must read between the lines. Or you must read the unwritten fine print, as they say.
Very beautiful. In fact, that's the next point where he says, spirit of love is spirituality and split of love is science.
That's why he makes that beautiful point where the science was making life easy and the desire to make life even more easy. We have used science.
You know, I'm a scientist, I want to defend. Science is not wrong, as Swami
says.
That's
exactly what...
The way people practice and... utilize the fruits of science.
Right.
That is where love gets split. E equals mc squared, it's a fact of nature.
Correct.
So there's nothing wrong. But if I use that to make an atom bomb, that's a different story. The fault is not in the equation, it's in me. And the way I make use of that equation.
That, having said, Swami goes on to a very, very important portion where he gives, in a way, the origin of the mind, where he says the mind is also formed from the subtlest aspect of food, and the gross aspect actually goes on to strengthen the body, and the subtle aspect goes to the mind. This is a very interesting point because one may often wonder why in some of our religious texts they say vegetarian food is preferred over non-vegetarian food. If the subtlest aspects of the food goes to the mind, what is it that happens if you have non-vegetarian food?
That's a good question, seldom asked. See, if you look at it, the body is made up of atoms and molecules.
Correct.
The world is full of atoms and inert molecules. The body cannot take inert molecules.
Okay.
By and large. Certainly I take in air, that is inert. I take the oxygen part and give out carbon dioxide. So I can directly deal with the inert thing. Water, it is inert.
Correct.
From the chemical and physics point of view.
Correct.
I drink it. But the other foods have to come from living matter.
Correct.
Only the lowest, the living species, can take inorganic thing and make it into something suitable to sustain life.
Okay.
Okay.
Very good.
See, in the evolution chain, we are higher in the evolution ladder.
Correct.
And therefore, we require food that is what we call ordered and structured. Erwin Schrödinger describes this very nicely by comparing a living body to a refrigerator.
Okay.
And his point is very simple. He says, what does the refrigerator do? You put it in a room. The room outside temperature is 30 degrees. But inside the refrigerator, it is much lower. It's 5 degrees. And there is a ice box where it is lower than 0 degrees. You can keep ice there.
Correct.
You can keep ice cream there. It won't melt. So it is artificially creating a lower temperature, which is different from the natural ambience.
Correct.
And to do this, it uses energy.
Correct.
It uses high form of energy and gives a low form of energy. What does that mean? It uses electrical energy. Electrical energy is a highly ordered form of energy. And that runs the motor and compressor, which generates heat. And that heat comes out of your radiator, the back.
Okay.
So there is waste heat coming out, high quality energy going in, low quality energy coming out. In the body, My body's temperature, as Swami used to say, 98.4. I don't remember what it is in centigrade. Though, because I was born in older times, 98.4 is what is stuck in my mind. Today they will teach you in centigrade. Now that is a very strange thing. The body always maintains the temperature. It's correct. Like acting like a refrigerator. This temperature is different from room temperature.
Correct.
It has to do work like a refrigerator. It is not in equilibrium with the surrounding. It's a non-equilibrium system. So Schrodinger said, it needs ordered energy, which you take in as food.
Okay.
And then the waste matter goes out.
Mm-hmm.
Same with water and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Where does this ordered energy come? Intake.
Mm-hmm.
We don't take electricity like the fridge does.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from other food.
Okay.
The food is from lower order species.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, lower order means what?
Mm-hmm.
Vegetables,
mm-hmm.
fruits.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go to food from the animal kingdom,
mm-hmm.
which give you proteins. They call it animal proteins.
Okay.
Basically meat.
Mm-hmm.
Meat from various animals.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the cow essentially takes lower grade of proteins from the grass and stuff like that.
Correct.
And converts it into animal protein, which is flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I can get the proteins in different ways. I can get it from almonds, of course, in a suitable manner.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many vegetarian stuff which give me proteins.
Mm-hmm.
All your millet and all that, they give a lot of proteins. That's why the farmers in the old days used to eat that, because they had to do a lot of heavy manual work.
Correct.
In fact, rice heating became common only after World War II. Before World War II, all the people other than Brahmins used to eat only these kind of things, because their work demanded it. Also, it was cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
Shirdi Baba ate only what is called bakri, which is made out of millet. And Swami used to eat ragi sangati.
Correct.
So there was a reason. It was nutritious and a lot of proteins came from it. Okay. So I can get proteins from purely vegetarian sources or from animal sources.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now this is where the subtle thing comes.
Mm-hmm.
How do I get the animal protein? First I have to kill the animal. It experiences pain.
Correct.
So that pain is a subtle feeling.
Mm-hmm.
That subtle feeling hangs on to that meat.
Oh, okay.
It's pain and agony and suffering is there in that meat. So when I eat that meat, the proteins go to my body.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens to the pain and its suffering?
Oh.
It is still floating around. It gets into my mind.
Okay.
And pollutes the mind.
Mm-hmm. Very beautiful, sir. Very clear. Now it makes it really...
So somebody said, what about the plants?
Mm-hmm.
No, that also has life.
Right. Correct.
Swami has said, plants do not have a central nervous system.
Oh, okay.
So they don't have pain. God has made sure. He knows that you are going. You have to eat. So what do you... You have to eat something. You can't eat rock. You can't eat mud.
This is a very beautiful point. Okay.
So he said, all right, I made plants only for you. You eat that. They won't get any pain. I made it for you. Eat bananas. Eat roots, tubers, all that. But you must be careful. Even there. And there is no pain. So he had created a pathway for us.
Correct.
But on the other hand, if you say, no, I want to eat chicken, I want to eat mutton, I want to eat beef. Beef, horrible fellow, that is the cow is giving you milk, go mata, you go and want to kill your mother and eat, you will pay for it.
Mm.
But then, sir, the question would come, since you mentioned Gomata, what about milk products and other animal products?
So, see, the milk product, when you take milk from the cow, it doesn't die.
Right.
Mm. It gives support. Milk. It gives milk. It is meant to give milk.
Mm.
But leave enough milk for the calf.
Right.
Correct.
And then take.
Mm.
So, Krishna has given the sort of seal of approval by eating a lot of butter. But you must be careful. Just say, I'll be like Krishna and eat butter. That was just what you call a part of leela. Because if you eat too much, you are going to give a job, what you call business to a heart clinic. So everything within limits. And at some time, you must stop that also. There comes a time, you say, now is the time I don't do any of these things. So, what is the minimum food that I need to survive?
Mm-hmm.
You have to manage.
That's amazing, that explanation about how the subtle part forms the mind. That is really...
In fact, in an indirect way, without Vedanta, the vegans have gone to the extreme. They say... they are almost become Gandhian without knowing it.
Mm-hmm.
They will not touch any leather goods. They will not wear leather belts. The wristwatch strap will not have leather.
Okay.
They will not wear leather jackets.
Mm-hmm.
They will not wear leather shoes. Because basically it has come from an animal. You have taken away its rights.
Correct. Mm.
And they go to... Vegan food is more strict than what you call... what you call it. They don't take milk.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, even that milk is made from soya.
Mm. Nice.
Their vegan ice cream is soya ice cream, and so on.
Mm.
And the basically they say, I don't want anything which has come at the expense of the life of the animal.
Mm.
So they want the spirit of it.
Correct. So all this is definitely a part of buddhi or discrimination, as we would put it.
Spiritual discrimination.
Also, in a sense, worldly, because you have to decide on what kind of food you're going to have and how you're going to lead
it. It has to be worldly, I say. What is the use of going to heaven and worrying about these things?
That's very true. I mean, I think before we conclude, I would just like to ask one small question, sir. We are talking about buddhi here in this topic, and many times we have heard this in Swami's discourses. He says, "Dhiyo yona prachodayat," that is, you can sharpen your intellect and awaken your intellect by chanting the Gayatri Mantram. Mm. And for us, we have heard that from childhood. We would really like to know what is the inner meaning of doing that.
Look. The Gayatri Mantram has been explained by so many people.
Correct.
Frankly, it's very technical.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember one man telling me,
mm-hmm.
he went to see Swami on some work.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami sometimes was very, I say, different. I won't say peculiar, odd. He will simply not pay attention to work. He will ask some other question, completely at tangent. Spiritual or anything.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, it said chant the Gayatri.
Mm-hmm.
This man has gone on some work. Swami, give me instruction. To hell with that, chant the Gayatri.
Mm-hmm.
He chanted. Now tell me the meaning. Tell me the meaning. Pure bookish knowledge. Nonsense. He said the best book he quoted. He kept quiet. I'll tell you the meaning of Gayatri in a very simple language.
Mm-hmm.
O Universal Mother, fill my heart with love.
Mm-hmm.
Let the loving feelings in my heart produce loving thoughts in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And let those loving thoughts in my mind come out of my body. It's loving words spoken by my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And loving and compassionate actions from my body.
Oh,
that's all there is to it. Now, you have to fit in the Yoyona Prachodayat within this.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, he showed a pipeline from the source of love, which is Atman or mm-hmm. Universal Mother, all the way through the heart, mm-hmm. through the mind, mm-hmm. through the mouth, and through the body. Full pathway.
Correct.
Roadmap.
Mm-hmm.
Just like that. You said a simple question. It's not a simple question.
Mm-hmm.
Very short time. I have given it to you.
Swami has given the most simple but beautiful and perfect answer.
Beautiful. I mean, I don't have to go and read anything.
Correct.
This is all there is. Oh, Mother, you are the embodiment of love. After all, in life also, Mother is supposed to be identified with love. So, you fill my heart with love. Let those feelings, you know, produce ripples of pure thought, good thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And let those thoughts, what the use of it being stuck there? Let it come out as good words
mm-hmm.
and good action.
Very beautiful, sir. Very beautiful. I think
if I were a sort of a business-minded yogi, I would have charged fees for it.
But very rightly speaking, that's the spirit of love. Exactly.
You give it free, with us asking nothing in return.
The whole explanation of Gayatri Mantra in this way is very unique.
By the way, when I was in, I don't remember whether Seattle or Vancouver, they had universal prayers before my talk.
Mm-hmm.
And this was there. They said from the Gayatri.
Mm-hmm.
Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba. It was done a little better in the form of a poem.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially it was this thing. So I felt happy.
So I think in this wonderful note, we'll bring this program to a close. Dear listeners, you'll agree with us that this has definitely been one of the most enlightening sessions we've had as part of this series, Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam. We, on behalf of all of you, thank Venkatraman sir for being with us and giving us this wonderful time here. The time's well past 8:30 now, and shortly you'll be joined by Bishu with the last segment of today, Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. This is Prem with Sai Prakash and Professor G. Venkatraman, thanking you for your company and offering this humble effort of ours at Bhagavan's lotus feet. Jai Sai Ram.